we progress through the service. But we're particularly pleased to welcome back Reverend Malcolm Drummond, who will be preaching for us later. So as we begin our worship this morning, I'd like to read some verses from Psalm 9, verses 7 to 11. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. And as we continue to worship, we're going to stand and sing our first song. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. We have got recorded music today as Penny is away on holiday, but this is a recording that was taken here but many years ago, so it might be not quite quoted, but we know the hymn. I'm sure we can sing and our praises. Let's stand if you're able. We are a chosen people. Ray and I were just saying we saw a glimpse of that picture while we were waiting. Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it? Oh. It was playing earlier because I heard it playing. It's definitely on there. Ah, the joys of technology. We just love it. I definitely heard it playing while we were waiting. Well, perhaps we can, I don't know, if we could get the books and try it on our own. I don't know, do we? If a couple of you can just try and get these blue books and just give them out. We know it's in there. We'll try it without the music. Do you want to pass some around? There we are. So it's in the first part, the first book. Oh, there we are. Get the number. I probably put the number on there, did I? 563. Number 563. I'll try and lead. I haven't got the piano on to give you a note, but 563. We are a chosen people. And then those lovely words, you've called us out of darkness. Are we going to just try it unaccompanied? Can't find it, no? Definitely there, but we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. We are a chosen people, a royal. Oh. to Zion, in the New Jerusalem. Thousand thousands are their voices singing to the Lamb. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God. Well done. Please be seated. Let's continue to praise God as we share a time of open prayer. I'll start and finish, but please feel free to lift up to the Lord your own words of thanks. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we are your chosen people. You have called us out of darkness to declare your praise and glorify your name. You are a faithful God, our stronghold in times of trouble. You are righteous and just in all you do. Please help us this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear your voice speaking through your word, so we may proclaim you among the nations and tell of all you have done. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are indeed worthy of all glory, honour and praise. We're going to sing now. I think that was a little taster of the next one. We're going to praise how wonderful, how glorious is the love of God, bringing healing, forgiveness, wonderful love. So again, stand if you're able. And hopefully we can.
Love of God, bringing healing, forgiveness. A wonderful love, how wonderful, how glorious is the love of God, bringing healing, forgiveness. A wonderful love. Let celebration echo through this land. We bring reconciliation. fills the air with joy and with gladness. Tell the people everywhere.
Just come to a short time of church notices and some fellowship news. As we've sort of started the summer break, there are no midweek meetings this week. Next Sunday, Pastor Ray will be leading us. Just a couple of updates for your prayers. I spoke to Penny yesterday. Obviously, she's arrived down at her daughter's after 3 days travelling in the south of France. But as most of you know, but some don't, Penny's mum had a very nasty fall at home on Monday evening and was taken into hospital in the early hours of Tuesday. She's broken 4 ribs, she's burst open a large ulcer on her leg, she had a chest infection as well. She's still in hospital. The antibiotics are clearing up the chest infection, but obviously the ribs are still painful. Probably the most concerning thing is this ulcer, because it's completely broken the skin, and obviously at over 100, it's very hard to heal. The aim, I think, it'd be lovely if it happened in the next few days, would be to get her out of hospital into a nursing home where she could be more comfortable but still get the care. But she has her heart set on going to the care home where Penny's dad and Penny's aunt were looked after, and Penny's mum used to volunteer there. There isn't actually a vacancy at the moment. They're going to see what they can do. So again, just keep praying. There is different members of the family down there. Penny's brother's there at the moment. Penny's older sister is going down on Tuesday. So they're sort of covering it. But yeah, it's very, whether Penny will have to come back early or not, she doesn't know. But they are very grateful for the prayers, and it's just sort of continuing to uplift. It's always very difficult. Those of you who had a relative in hospital, at the weekends, you get different doctors, different staff. So they probably won't really get much progress. But obviously, with anybody particularly of that age, the aim is actually to get them out of hospital as soon as possible, because hospital isn't really a great place when you're over 100 and quite deaf and not able to see very well. But she is being looked after, and as I say, things are beginning to heal. The other news, which again quite a few of you know, is that sadly Wally's house, the people who are buying his house, pulled out on Thursday. So that sale that's been going on for 5 months or so has now fallen through. Obviously he's quite upset about it, but the house is back on the market. They did have a viewing yesterday. How that's gone, I don't know, but we've got to pray that the people who now come in and buy it will be able to move forward quickly, will have their finances in order. But for him, you know, we've done all the farewells and everything, and then suddenly at this last minute it doesn't happen. So do continue to pray for Wally and for Linda. They rushed up yesterday to try to get the house ready for the viewing. She obviously lives an hour and a quarter away. It's not easy. So yeah, Wally and Penny and family definitely need our prayers at this time. But one little give thanks is just to say Val Gregson, who's got very severe dementia, she seems to be settling quite well with a new care package this week. She seems brighter. I think they're more experienced staff. She seems to be eating a bit more, getting up. She went through a time when she didn't want to get out of bed, but we actually went up for a walk on Thursday, and she'd been for a walk with Julie on the Wednesday as well. So continue to pray that will work well, that the carers will, she'll be able to trust the carers, and yeah, it will be as good as it can be. The other positive news is, I won't read them all out now, but we have finally got details of the August joint services for the local churches together. There's a poster on that door, and there's a poster on the notice board in there. Just to remind, the first one on the 4th of August is a Songs of Praise. So if you think you can go and you'd like to choose a song, you do need to get in touch with Reverend Dominic Grant by next Sunday, or let me or Ray know or something, so that it'll be good if we can support these. The next one will be a service that we're leading at Hope Corner, but this Songs of Praise, if you think you can go there, at 5:30, all the services apart from the last one, which is an even song at 6:30. But do have a look at the poster. And after many, many months of praying with virtually nothing happening in the churches together, this is positive news that they're doing this a lot. And Ray's been working behind the scenes, Penny has. And yeah, it'll be good to meet together with other Christians. And as I say, they're happening at 5:30 for the first three Sundays in August. Now we're going to have our first reading, which Denzel is going to bring to us. It's from Psalm 42, verses 1 to 11. Thanks, Denzel.
As the deer pants for the stream of water, so my soul pants for you. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. Why will men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the processions to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day the Lord directs his love, at night his songs is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Again, that psalm talks about God being our rock, and we'll be thinking later with Malcolm about God is a God of justice and faithfulness. So we're going to stand and sing. You do know this one. Ascribe greatness to our God the rock. His work is perfect and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. So if you're able, let's stand and sing this together.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this special day. Thank you for watching over us during this last week, whatever kind of week we have had. Please help those who have had a difficult week, those who are not well, who have loved ones in hospital or anything else. Thank you for all our blessings and the joy of fellowship. Bless those who are on holiday. Please give them journeying mercies, especially with the recent disruption. Guide our government and all governments with wisdom and righteousness. Help all persecuted Christians. Help us to know them to know we are praying for them. Help those who become lonely during the summer break when many things stop. Bless those who reach out to them. Please bless and help our church here, all our churches, and churches together and Hope Corner. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as we continue in an attitude of prayer, we're going to remain seated and sing Faithful God, So Unchanging. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. So let's just sing these words prayerfully. Unless we sing the other Faithful God that is in the book, that's the music. Well, let me look at that one. It's not the one I wanted, but sorry, let's find the number. It's in the second book, I think. Sorry, if someone finds it. Faithful God, All-Sufficient One is the one I'm looking for. It's 707. So the music you were just playing, John, it's number 707, if you've got in the blue book. Now Anthony's going to bring us our New Testament reading. Thank you, Anthony.
As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man, Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat immediately. Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated in is Dorcas. He was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she She became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Thanks be to the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Anthony. Before Malcolm comes to share God's word with us, we're going to sing, which I hope is all right on the computer, that it's an old hymn, "Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun," but Keith and Kirsten Getty have added a chorus to it, which comes in after the second verse. It's all through on the video. The chorus just seemed very appropriate to what Malcolm will be preaching on. It says, "To our King be highest praise, rising through eternal days. Just and faithful, he shall reign. Jesus shall reign." So there's two verses which you'll know, hopefully recognise from the traditional hymn. Then the chorus comes in. But again, if you want to just listen to the words and watch the video, that's fine. But hopefully the words you will really take on board. So hopefully this song will go through. And again, it's up to you whether you want to stand or whether you like to remain seated.
Stretch from again. It's good to be back. Linda is sorry not to be here today, but she's in Zambia, which I think counts as a good excuse. But she did ask me to bring her love and her greetings to you all, so from Africa. So I've now done that. Yeah, I'll tell her that next time I speak to her. It all depends a bit on whether they've got electricity and whether the internet's working. But if they're both working at the same time, we get a chance to have a Zoom chat. So otherwise, she's run out of credit on her phone and everything's just not working very well. So, but when it works, it's good. Now, as you know, I think, probably most of you, Linda and I are foster carers. I'm a Baptist minister, but also we're foster carers. Sometimes we brought Cameron, teenage boy that we look after. He sits at the back and does paintings. And one of the things that we have to do regularly as foster carers is to go to training sessions. And they're mostly very good. They're very helpful. They give us good ideas of things that we can do and approaches that we can take with young people. But at one training, the trainer had a question and answer session. And one of the questions was, the child I'm looking after keeps saying, it's not fair. How should I respond? And the trainer said, tell her, life's not fair, kid. Get used to it. And I thought, no, that's terrible advice, even if it's just being said flippantly. It's true that life's not fair. Of course, when children say that, they usually just mean they're not getting their own way. Like, no, you can't stay up all night on the Xbox. It's not fair. Actually, it's quite reasonable, especially if it's a school night. But as we grow up, we learn to transfer that sense of unfairness to things that really aren't fair. Like in our reading, Aeneas being paralyzed for 8 years. There's nothing fair about that. And even more so, this lovely woman, Tabitha, who was always doing good and helping the poor and making clothes for women worse off than herself who couldn't afford them. And yet she falls ill and dies. It's not fair. It's not supposed to be this way. And that's our first point this morning. It's not supposed to be this way. The death of Tabitha was such a pointless waste. Why do things like this happen? It makes many people question the very existence of God, and it makes believers turn to God to ask him, why? Why are things like this? Like in the psalm that we read a bit earlier on. I say to God, my rock, why? Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why? Why do these things happen? It's not fair and it's not right. And we have this built-in sense of the way that things ought to be, even though most of the time they aren't. Most of the time things seem random, meaningless, pointless and futile, but something in us drives us to reject that. We say, it's not fair. It shouldn't be like this. We can't accept it. Something inside us rebels against it. And it's not good enough to say, life's not fair, kid. Get used to it. Life's not fair. But it should be. Something within us is in touch with a higher sense of justice and fairness than actually seems to exist in the world around us. And the people who wrote the Bible thought deeply about this, inspired, as we believe, by the Spirit of God as they did so. And they realized that the best explanation is this. No, it's not supposed to be this way. But secondly, it's not going to be this way. It's not going to be this way. The story of Tabitha being brought back to life by the prayers of Peter is not told because this is the sort of thing that we should expect to happen all the time. Her being brought back to life is exceptional. It's like the miracles of Jesus. It's a sign. Like the raising of the dead only son of the widow of Nain that Jesus did. Like the raising of Lazarus that Jesus did. But especially, it's like the raising of Jairus' daughter. And I'm going to read that story. It's in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21. And it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. But then something happens, and they're delayed on their journey. Jesus heals the woman and says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And then the story resumes. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him, because they knew death when they saw it. The child was dead. Jesus is using asleep as a metaphor here, not saying she's just asleep, you know, give her a poke and she'll wake up. The child had died, but death is not forever. It's like sleep. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. He went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, Peter was there when this happened. He heard Jesus say, "Talitha kum," in Aramaic. Now he's with a woman called Tabitha, who has died. So he presumably says, even if the people there didn't understand Aramaic, they're a bit more off the beaten track than Jerusalem, but they probably did. So he presumably says in Aramaic, "Tabitha kum." Tabitha, get up. It's way beyond coincidence. It's a sign. It points to something beyond itself. When someone dies too soon, too young, we want them back. Of course we do. But we know it can't happen, not on any scale. The world moves on. Others continue the story when we drop out of it. But the stories of the dead rising have clear echoes of the rising of Jesus himself. They point to it and they help us to understand it. They point to a deeper reality, a deeper truth than anything we see in the news. They point to a world where the dead live again, where those who grieve are comforted, where those imprisoned unjustly are set free, where the sick are healed, and where sadness and sorrow and death are no more. And we can call it heaven. We can call it the second coming of Jesus. We can call it the general resurrection of the dead and the day of judgment and the new heaven and the new earth. We can call it the day of the Lord. And it says, we were right. We were right when we felt in our bones that things shouldn't be this way. Death and evil and pain are not where the story ends. Life and purity and truth, those are the eternal things because they reflect the character of God, our Maker. What we long for will come. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one day for each of us and one glorious day for everyone. It shouldn't be this way, the way things are now. But don't be afraid. It's not going to be this way when God breaks in and changes the world. Life's not fair, kid. Get used to it. That's no answer. But the hope of heaven and eternity and the coming of God might sound like pie in the sky when you die. It sounds like we're saying, get used to it, at least for now anyway, and look for a new day to come. But that's not all there is to say. One of the children that we looked after when she was small, about 9 years old, she used to say, it's not fair, all the time. No, you can't stay up late every night. It's not fair. Yes, you do have to tidy your room. It's not fair. No, you can't watch things on TV for only over 18s, you're only 9. It's not fair. All sorts of things like that. When she became a teenager and was at secondary school, she learned about forced child marriages and female genital mutilation at school. And she was outraged. She came home boiling with rage. She couldn't even sit down. She was so full of anger about what was happening to girls, mostly in other countries. And it's good that she felt that way. We should all be outraged about things like that. She was so angry, And she said, it's not fair. It's not fair on them. I've got to do something. I've got to help. She didn't have much money, but she went online and made a donation from the small amount of money she did have to a charity which helps girls in other countries. And that's the answer to the question. It's not to say, life's not fair, kid, get over it. But life's not fair, kid, so do something about it. Try to make it fairer, like Tabitha did, making clothes for women worse off than herself. Things won't always be this way. God will come. But while things are this way, be a signpost to a better world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, light of the world, we come to you this morning. We live in a world of so much darkness as we wait for the light to return. Call us to look around and to see you at work in our world. Draw us into your plans for the world. Guide us to find new ways of living in your love and grace, loving our neighbours as ourselves and actively longing for you to come to us. You have promised to do a new thing, to come in a new way. Help us to be ready by living as you desire us to live, with your love in our hearts, and to have your love for all people. In the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world, we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing the hymn. The words may not be familiar, but the tune certainly will be. And I think it's going to be on the screen. Bring to the Lord a glad new song. And we'll stand if we're able to sing this.
It's to the tune of Jerusalem.
It's the tune is Jerusalem, yeah. So you should know that one. The words are new. They won't be in the book, will they? Oh, well, should we just skip that bit then? Yeah. Bring to the Lord a glad new song. Yes, I didn't bring them with me either, so. No, I think we'll just move on, shall we?
Yeah, I don't think it's.
Do you want to go and get the kids in, and then we can do that song at the end? So while that's happening, shall we just look at each other and say the words of the grace together? Okay, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Yep, good, okay. So when the children are here, we're going to sing We Are Marching in the Light of God. It's 1076 if you've got the book. Yeah, we can do this one, yeah. Sing in any language that you know it in.
Absolutely.
Do you want to take over for this bit?
Yeah, yes, thanks.
Now again, I untangled all of these yesterday. It's a Christmas tree light thing. Just make sure the children, give them to the children as they come in, and then adults get them once they're in. None of the children have got more to start with. We've got plenty. Yeah, please come and got more. Is it come up on the stage? There's a little. These ones are slightly shorter if you want one for. Okay. You have a big one, Daniel. Come up on stage. Anyone else? Right. Anyone else want to pretend to be a child? I'm going to have one, but I've got some over today. We haven't got all the children here. Yeah, there we are. We might even go marching, you know, we've done that before. There we are, there we are. It's behind you, Malcolm. And for Barbara. Right, so. Sorry? All right, okay, I'll move the flowers back for a minute. Let's do our march. We will clear the deck. Thank you, Elsie. Two more. Come on, Malcolm, you don't escape if you're... That's right, yes, you can be. One more. There we are. Caroline, come on, this is the last one. There we are. So this song, we haven't had for a while, but it reminds us that we're a pilgrim people. It says we are marching in the life of God, and it's living in the love of God. And so hopefully we've got some music, or we can do it. And if we want to go marching around, we will. We've got music. Blessing on each one of the children and their parents here today, and all of us, that we can truly be the family of God, living, loving, and serving you, however you call us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well.